All right. Well, Brother Andrew, are you ready? I want to play this song for you. Brother Andrew's going to play it through the speaker. I want you to listen to it because it's going to kind of be the start of this sermon that I'm going to preach to you tonight. I'm going to preach on spiritual conditioning, a battlefield, not a playground. And I want him to play this song, and I want you to listen to it, and then I'll get into it.
You know, I've been in Corpus 35 years right now. And the Lord gave me this little song, and we'll just sort of sing it. Now the champion marched for 40 days, saying, give me a man to fight. The Israelites said, we got a brave heart, but our feet are sort of full of fright. Then a boy with a sling, a pocket full of rocks, that knew how to trust and pray, said, if you're going to run, Goliath, you might as well take off now, because I came here to stay. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. I came here to stay. Now the decree had been signed by the hand of the king. Daniel still prayed to the Lord. The hungry lions pacing the den. Here comes supper, one roared. And if you'd have been standing anywhere close, you'd have heard Brother Daniel say, if you're talking about me, forget it, boys. I came in here to stay. Run if you want to, run if you will. I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. But I came. Now, the boys wouldn't bow. The king got mad and said, turn that old furnace up. High time up. Throw 'em on in. The Hebrew boys are gonna fry. A little while later, he looked in the furnace. He heard Brother Shadrach say, pull up a chair, boys, and warm your hand. We came in here to stay. Run if you want to, run if you will. I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Fight and not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will. I want all the preachers to stand, every preacher. I've got a stanza I wrote for you. On the way to Dallas in the plane. Now the preachers wouldn't bow. The state got mad. Said, turn those rules up high. Time up. Put the pressure on them. Their freedom and liberty is gonna die. A little while later, they looked in the churches. They heard God's prophets say, we may burn, but we'll never bend. Our God's just the same today. Run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay. When I fall down, I'm going to get right up. Didn't start out to play. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Fight another game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay.
Amen is right. All right, turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 12. With that thought, I want you to think about that. I want to talk to you about spiritual conditioning, It's a battlefield, not a playground. I'm telling you, I can honestly tell you this. I wish everyone was here tonight. I know there's some sick and different things going on, but I wish everyone was here to hear this tonight. Because I believe that it's a message from the Lord, and I believe everybody needs it. How is it that most of the time, the folks that need it aren't here? Or not listening? I pray they're listening online. I don't know. I haven't looked, but we first went on. But I hope they do. I hope that, because it is for everybody. And look, all right. I know what this is going to be like tonight already, so I'm just going to get ready for it. I'm okay with babying people who need to be babied. I'm all right with having patience where I need to have patience as the Lord deals with me. But I hope tonight to wake you up to the seriousness of this Christian life. And I hope that you don't see it as a game. Because if you do, you'll lose. And you'll lose big. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse number 5. I honestly don't believe that people today take this Christian life in a sober manner, in a serious manner. I think that we can become all too flippant with our walk with God. And I think we can come all too flippant with our adversary, the devil, that walketh about. And we somehow think that this Christian life is more like a playground. And I want you kids to listen up very closely. I don't care how old you are. I want you to listen as best as you can tonight. And I want you to pay attention. And I want you to go back and I want you to listen to this in years to come when I'm dead and in my grave and I'm in heaven. I want you to listen to this sermon. And I want you to hear it. And I want you to remember that there was a mean old man in a yellow shirt that stood up in front of you and preached the devil right out of you. I want you to remember that. Jeremiah, and by the way, yeah, like the song said, I came to stay. I didn't come to give up. I didn't come to quit and run out. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse number 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? For even thy brethren in the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. You know, Jeremiah, let's pray. Father, please help us. We need you, Lord. We need you. We need this, Lord. Help us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Jeremiah he's a young man here and he's a young prophet. And he is being challenged here by the Lord. And he's complaining to God is what he's doing. He's like, God, this is horrible. All these people hate me. All this stuff is going on. All these battles. And God is telling him, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? This Christian life is a war, and we can never on this earth put our armor down or our sword down and believe that we are on safe ground. We are never safe in this life. There is no rest from the spiritual warfare that we are in. It is a battlefield and not a playground. It is a battlefield. Do I need to record this or are you... Okay. Jeremiah was complaining that God had been too hard on him. His trials were too great. That the reproach that he had suffered was too harsh. That his friends had betrayed him and others had turned their back on him. That was God's answer is what I'm going to give you tonight. I want to read you a little background. Jeremiah was very young when the word of the Lord came to him. In the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, while he was a resident in Anatoth, his native city, there, after the prophetic gift was imparted, he continued to live for several years until the hostility, not only of his fellow townsmen, but of the members of his own family, having been aroused on account, probably, of the holiness of his life and the fidelity of the remonstrances. He quit. He left Anatoth and took up his residence at Jerusalem. The finding of the book of the law 5 years after he had begun to prophesy must have had a powerful influence on the mind of Jeremiah, in whom doubtless the young and right-minded King Josiah found valuable help in the efforts he put forth with a view to promote a national revival. No sooner, however, was the influence of the court in favor of true religion withdrawn than Jeremiah became an object of attack, as he had doubtless been long, and an object of dislike on the part of those whose anger had been roused by his rebukes. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what face people put on it. I don't care. And listen to me closely. And I'm dead serious. And I do not care. I promise you, I do not care who likes it. In fact, I wish there was more people that didn't like it that would hear it tonight. I wish they would, because they need it real bad. Or real good, whichever way you look at it. But I'm going to tell you something. You want to know why people walk out of here? I'm going to give you the real reason why anybody does. Because something was preached that stepped on their toes. And they will not get right with God, so they get on their happy little horse and they get out of Dodge as quick as they can. And they can make any elaborate video, any elaborate excuse. They can do whatever they want to do. But at the end of the day, I've seen it. I've watched it. It's this word preached straight to the heart. And they don't want to get right with God. Or they're lost. And the scrutiny of the Word of God, they can't take, so they leave. Jeremiah became an object of attack, as he had doubtless been long an object of dislike. This bitterness of opposition continued during successive reigns of kings, and at various times his life was threatened. At the commencement of the reign of Zedekiah, he was put in confinement by Pashur, the chief governor of the house of the Lord. But he seems soon to have been liberated, for we find that he was not in prison at the time when Nebuchadnezzar's army commenced the siege of Jerusalem. The prophet Jeremiah had severe trials and manifold difficulties and discouragements to contend against. His counsels were rejected, and his voice was lifted up in the name of Jehovah seemingly in vain. His soul yearned with solicitude and tender affection toward those who turned a deaf ear to his admonitory voice, despised his counsel, and would have none of the reproofs he was commissioned to utter. Now I'm going to tell you something, and the reason why is because somewhere along the way, people come to this idea that this Christian life is a playground. That's number one, what I want to say to you tonight. Too many Christians think this is a playground. It notes a lack of soberness. Being sober is a right and clear and accurate assessment of myself. Not mad or insane, not wild, visionary or heated with passion, having the regular exercise of a cool, dispassionate reason, regular, calm, not under the influence of passion, a sober judgment, a man in sober senses. It means not being intoxicated with the affairs of this life, not treating life like it's one big playground for me to play in. I'm going to tell you something right now. I think, and I'm going to say this very clearly, and if it upsets you, so be it. There ought to be a very small scale and a very limited reason why I don't see you every service here. There really ought to be. Now, if you have to work and you have things, I understand. But there ought to be a very small reason why. That Zoom is on there for you when you're sick and you can't come. Any other time, get yourself to church. The more you're away from the saints of God, the easier it is to be away from the saints of God. The easier it is to harbor in yourself. Look, this is a battlefield, not a playground. Do you understand that? We're not playing kindergarten here, okay? We're not playing daycare center here, okay? This is a battlefield, and the devil hates you, and he hates this church, and he wants your spiritual life to be destroyed. Man, I'm going to tell you something right now. Say what you want to, but the preacher that trained me that I got saved under, you know what he said? Man, I had diarrhea, and I stuck my pants full of something, and I went to church anyway. Now, you know what? I'm not saying I want you to do that, but you know what I am saying? Where in the world is the grit of these snowflakes today? Where is the absolute grit of people that say, you know what? I got a sniffle. I don't care if I got a sniffle. We are all too easily pushed away. I'm not saying come to church if you got the flu. I'm not saying that. You know what I'm saying. There's petty reasons why people don't show up. There's just petty reasons. And if you make excuse and excuse and excuse after long enough, guess what's going to happen? Oh, it gets easier. And then your judgments get skewed. Then the devil starts picking at your brain. Yep. You leave the plain path of duty because you forget you're a soldier and you're not on vacation. You're not on vacation. That's right. Those gospel boots are for tough terrain. Look. It means I'm not intoxicated with the affairs of this life, not treating life like it's one big playground for me. I'm going to tell you something right now. There ain't a sermon here that you need to miss. And if you miss one, you better be listening to it. And I don't care what people call me. I don't care what you think about what I just said. I don't care if somebody on YouTube land doesn't like it. I don't care if somebody in My Little Pony land doesn't like it. I don't care who don't like it. That's just the plain truth. God gave me something to preach so you could hear it. And yes, it is for you. That's exactly the truth. Because I care about your never-dying soul. That's why. Because I got an answer for you. I got an answer for what you do. I got an answer for the oversight that I gave. I got an answer for the fact that I didn't warn you and tell you. I got an answer for that. And I take it very seriously, even if you don't. Even if you could think of every excuse in the book. It's going to be a long one, I'm telling you. No man, the Bible says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affair. And if you want to know, are you fired up? Are you upset? Yeah, I am. I am. I hate the devil, and I hate excuses. And I'm tired of hearing them. I'm tired of making excuses for people and watching them use it to their advantage, and then they turn on God. The Bible says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. If a man is at war, listen to me. If a man is at war, he's not entangled. That's what it says. That's exactly what it says. If you're at war, you're not entangled. Bible says, be sober, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Too many rest and are at ease in Zion. That's what the problem is. They're at leisure. They're at ease in Zion. The only way to not be at ease at Zion is to be uncomfortable. When we get comfortable with this world, we are treating this life like it's a playground and not a battlefield. I want to prove this to you. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 8. I hope I don't lose my voice. No, I got some here. Thank you, brother. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 8. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down into his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thine house? And Uriah, look what Uriah said. Are you paying attention? Look what he said. This shows you what a real warrior is. Look what he said. And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. What did he say? He goes, look, I'm a warrior. I'm a soldier. I came to fight. I came to fight. I didn't come to leave. I came to fight. I'm not going home. I'm staying here. I'm going to fight. David's like, no, no, go home. And David said, Uriah, tarry here today also. And tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down to his house. Look, Uriah said, no way, boss, I ain't going. Not even drunk, boss. You got me drunk, and I'm still not going. I know where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be in the battle. I'm supposed to be in the war. I'm not supposed to go shirk off into the night. I'm not supposed to go home and be at ease. I'm to be at the battle. I'm to be fighting. There is a great principle that is being taught here in the Bible, and that's that there are steps to warfare. I want you to understand something, because there's an amazing lesson here in Jeremiah chapter 12 that we're going to get to. And like I said, so many need to hear this. In the Bible, there are steps to warfare, and too many cannot or not at the level of warfare. But they're falling out all around us. And I believe it's because they lack endurance from the Lord and encouragement from the Lord. They lack it. They have no stay power, no grit, no fight in them. They've retreated. Like the song said, it's a battlefield, not a recreation hall. It's not a playground. I came to stay and fight. I didn't come to run away. I didn't come to give in to the devil in discouragement or temptation. Look, I'm going to tell you something right now. I got married to stay married. You understand that? I got married to stay married. I'm going to say that again for you. I got married to stay married. Got it? That's right. It's something to fight for. You get in between me and my wife, I'll crush you. I ain't kidding. I ain't playing. I'm serious. I got married to stay married. The Bible says to rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Yeah, deal not treacherously with the wife of thy youth. When you say I do, you're done. That's it. You're done. Or you're a liar. That's the way it goes. You say it ain't always easy. Well, yeah, living with me ain't easy. Yeah. You's a hard man. Remember that guy? You's a hard man, Pastor. You's a hard man. You don't know the half of it, kid. Yeah, as stone. We'll get to Ezekiel's ministry sometime. That's the ministry God gave me. But I got married to stay married. And everything won't always be easy. And everything won't always work out the way you want it. But since when was it about you? Yeah. Since when do you know more than God? Exactly. Since when? Think about that for a second. Since when do you and I know more than God? You know what? That's what I'm saying. I came here to stay, man. I got married to stay married until I'm dead. Amen. That's just it. Plain and simple. I'm tired of seeing all these excuses people have. Two saved people can work anything out. You know why? Because Christ is in the middle of them. They put him first. And they suffer themselves to be defrauded for Christ's sake. Look, I came to, like I said, I came to grow old with the wife of my youth, raise my kids and grandkids for the glory of God, and make the devil as mad as I can in Jesus' name, and then go home. It's a battlefield, not a recreation hall, not a playground. Look, I answered the call to preach, and I came to stay. And I've had every stinking devil in this world trying to stop me. Every stinking liar in this world. Everything else. But you know, the one thing that God had me stick to is God is able to make thee stand. God is able to make thee stand. Why are they all falling down? But God is able to make you stand. And that's what they hate about this simple preacher right here that preaches it straight. Because God made me stand. And they hate it. And they war against it. Because it's real. And they know it. They know it full well. Like I said, I came to stay. And I did come to fight. By God's grace, I came to stay. Like I said, it's a battlefield, not a playground. You better figure out real quick that you can't suck your spiritual thumb forever. You got to grow up and face life and face the giants and the devil and keep fighting. That's right. Put the training pants on. You're going to have an accident every now and then. Right? Right? You're going to have an accident every now and then. Right? But you got to keep them training pants on and keep going. We're going to talk about that. Not that exactly. Not exactly that. I should have said it like that. That was a real bad segue. Not one of my better ones, but one that somebody will clip probably. We'll make a good comedy reel out of that one. But you know what? For your church, you got to keep fighting. For your church, for your marriage, for your children, for your faithfulness. Yeah, for your brothers and sisters in Christ. How people wound their brothers and sisters in Christ when they give up and walk away. You know, when you love somebody, when you love people, you're there. You get there. You're there to be an encouragement to them. Because you and I are an encouragement to one another when we're where we're supposed to be. We strengthen one another when we are where we're supposed to be. That's what happens. A lot. That's right. Amen, buddy. Right? That's right. Body is nourished. That's right. And that's the way God intended it to be. Is that we were there to edify one another and build each other up in our most holy faith. That's what the Bible says. Not looking for any excuses or reasons not to be. That's just the truth. Now I want to ask you something. Number two, does running with the footmen weary thee? I'm going to explain to you what that is. Take him out and fall on him. Just kidding. We'll edit that one. Maybe. No, they don't. Let me ask you a question. Does running with the footmen weary thee? If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee. So what does it exactly mean? Running with the footmen wearies you. Listen, running with the footmen, that is the simple duties of everyday Christian life. That's what it is. It's everyday Christian life. Are you wearied by everyday Christian living? If you cannot be faithful in little, how can you contend with the horses? How can you possibly do anything for God when just living for Him, daily tasks of being a good wife or a mother or a good husband or an employee or a good church member or simple life of devotion to God? How will you contend for the faith when you don't even want to be a better wife, husband, or Christian? Listen to me. If in the ordinary duties of life you have been wearied, how will you be able to meet the higher and special duties to which you may be called? Manfully and courageously face these, and then you may hope to meet the others with strength equal to their performance. These are trials. That's what these are. Simple trials of life and of this Christian life. If the trials which are common to man tax your patience, how will you do when called to pass through extraordinary trials? Do not give way under these, but endure them without shrinking. Then when the Job-like trials come, you may be able to bear them as he did. Listen to me. I'm going to help you, millennials, Generation Xers, what, snowflakes. Yeah, I'm helping me. Right. Generation Z, Generation Snowflake, skinny jean wearing. Right? I want to help you with something. I'm going to help you this. Are you ready for this? There is no secret code in this Christian life to escape the daily lessons we must learn that will prepare us to contend with the horses. If we are wearied by running with the footmen, we will never be spiritually conditioned to contend with the horses. This life of faith is conditioning. The day-to-day trials are to condition us to contend with horses. Listen, you can't type in a Konami code and get ahead. Do you know what a Konami code is? A Konami code is up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B, select, start. Now, that's a Konami code. All right? Look, some of us didn't play with horses, all right? All right, Dave, we didn't play with dogs. No, that's Konami. Look, I don't have time to do this. I'm embarrassed that you don't know this, and I don't have time to continue with that. Needless to say, up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B, select, start is one of the most fascinating, awesome codes ever that you will ever play. All right? That's called the Konami code, I'm pretty sure, isn't it? That's Konami, yeah. No, it's the Konami code. Now, we're not going to go through that anymore. We're going to be done with that. But listen, life is not a video game. There are no warp zones and cheats. Do you understand that? This ain't Super Mario World, and you can't escape to the fourth level. Okay? Right. And you don't get the flower suit that shoots out the red. Anyway. Or the coon suit that flips the tail that makes you fly in the air. You don't get that here. And if you run really fast, it won't make you fly. It doesn't work that way, okay? It doesn't work that way. All right? Yeah, they do. But listen, here's the thing. The reason I'm saying that is that we have generations of people that think they're going to somehow skip living for God. They're going to somehow skip the day-to-day Christian life and the lessons that you have to learn. Hey, when I got saved, I tried that. I was like, hey, I got called to preach. Look, preacher, just point me in the right direction. I'm ready. Right? But now what you see it, but God said, no, you're not. And I'm going to show you, you're not. I got showed. I got schooled. Many times over. But I see it today. I see people think, well, yeah, I could study all. Look, I know people that have written books. You know, I know people that have done all those things. That doesn't mean they're spiritually grown. You can hide behind anything. I'm telling you that right now. I know people that can study and they know all these facts and they can tell you all these things. That don't mean you're ready for anything. You want to know when I see that God is doing something in your life is the everyday trials of your life. I see you grow in your faith and in your faithfulness to God. And I see you withstand the trials and the tribulations and the sorrows, and you keep fighting and you keep moving for the Lord and you stay faithful to God through it all. That's Christian growth, and that's the Christian life. And you know what? If you can't run with the footmen, if they've wearied thee, how will you run? How will you run with the horses? Look, there are no shortcuts to Christian warfare. If you skip your training, you'll go through the lesson until it's learned. You know, let me tell you something. Let me give you the quickest way to have disappointment in this Christian life. This is something that will help you grow. Ready? Impatience. Impatience. When you are impatient, oh man, are you ever going to make yourself miserable? Over and over and over again, when you're impatient, when you are not willing to wait on God, you become extremely impatient. Look, the Bible says there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. How about troubles? Let me ask you a question. That's those running with the footmen. Do the ripples on the waters of the sea of life affect you? Then how will you do when the surges of the tempest come upon you? I see people that think they're ready for anything. How come I've pastored for 10 years and I don't think I'm ready for everything? A lot of times I just look around like, I ain't ready for nothing. Like, what in the world just happened? I sit around like, what in the world was that? How do I even process that? And then I see people saying, yeah, I'm ready for everything. Let me ask you a question. If you can't take hard preaching, how could you take persecution? If you can't take hard preaching that preaches the devil right out of you, that steps on your toes, convicts you, and brings you to a place where you get mad because you've got to get right with God, and then you get right with, if you can't handle that, how are you going to handle persecution for the Lord's sake? How are you going to handle opposition? If you can't handle running with the footmen, if you're wearied running with the footmen, how will you contend with horses? They'll trample you. How will you do when the surges of the tempest come upon you? Do the dark clouds of the sky frighten you? Then how will you feel when the lurid lightning and terrible thunders fill the heavens? You know, the Bible says in these end times, men's hearts will fail them. I like what this one says. But let us take higher ground and view the subject in a spiritual light. In the case of the true believer, we cannot for a moment doubt that God designs every circumstance which befalls him. However minute in every trial which comes upon him, however slight, to work for his good. Neither can we doubt that this gracious design is answered or defeated according to the disposition of mind in which either comforts or crosses are received. How you handle it determines how the test will be graded. It is well in a certain way to anticipate seasons of heavy affliction. Think how soon health may be interrupted, friends removed, plans defeated, and hopes forever blasted. Such thoughts, if sanctified in answer to prayer, will have a happy effect upon the general character of your experience. You got to prepare for those things. You got to prepare for the time that God says, no, I'm not going to do that for you. You want that to be done. Well, I don't want you to have that. I don't want you to have that. What if he says that? Seasons of intense suffering are often made occasions of signal interpositions in behalf of God's people. Your emergency shall prove your heavenly Father's opportunity. Your heaviest trials shall be made the marked occasions of your realizing the greatness of his power and the intensity of his love. Listen, I have never known the comfort of God so much as when I needed it. When I was in times of betrayal, in times of heartache and pain, in times of suffering, in times of suffering reproach for Christ's sake, in times of all of those things that come our way, that's when I got to know that God is faithful. That's when I had to look up to heaven and I had to say, he's right and he's still God. To those who are discouraged by trifling difficulties in the service of God, to renounce Christian service because of its difficulties is to faint among the footmen. And ultimately to contend with the horses. For how will it be when awakened conscience with its multiplied rebukes assails thee? How wilt thou assuage the mourning over lost opportunities and the deep remorse called up by the retrospect of a wasted life? It's a battlefield, not a playground. We must bear in mind when we have to tread the wine presses alone that God has a purpose in every vexation of daily life, in every cross, in every baffled enterprise, in every silent tear, and that the purpose is to prepare us by steadfastness in what is little and easy to bear for confidence in him under greater perils, in troubles which are hard to bear. The light in the darkness of today's disappointment is designed to make us hold fast the lamp against the hour of that darkness which may be felt. Let no one think these lessons of daily life unimportant. You know, that's what I see. I see a lot of people despising the day of little things. I see Christians doing it. The daily challenges they go to. Nope, I'm ready for the next level. I'm ready to move up. I'm ready to move on. No, you're not. You're despising the day of the little things that you have, the trials that you have. He that despiseth little things shall perish by little and little. We must learn the secret of strength while running with the footmen. That's where you get your practice. That's where you get your endurance for this life, is staying faithful to God through the day-to-day tasks of this life, through being a mother, through being a father, through going to work. Right? For being responsible. For being faithful to the house of God. Those things. That's running with the footmen. And nobody wants to do that anymore. They've advanced so far that they can do everything online now. And they don't want to run with the footmen. You know why? Because church is like running with the footmen. This is the day-to-day affairs of this life. This is the proving ground. This is the revealing ground. You can be anybody you want to online. And when somebody figures you out, you can move on to the next phase. I'm telling you, I've seen it. Just move on. Change your screen name. Move on to be somebody else. Listen, you have to learn first to run with the footmen and build endurance before you can contend with the horses. You know what? In stewards, it is important that a man what? Be found faithful. Found faithful. That means he's already faithful. God chooses faithful men, not unfaithful men. If you are wearied by trying to learn to be a good husband, if you are wearied by just dwelling with your wife or dwelling with your husband, if you are wearied by just going to work every day, right? If you are wearied by keeping a good testimony, if you are wearied by walking in this life in the Spirit, if you are wearied by raising a mother, raising her children, if you are wearied, and I mean weary to the point of giving up, not being weary. We all get weary, but we can't stay weary. There's a difference. There's a difference. How will you run with the, If you can't run with a footman and build endurance, how will you contend with horses? That's the next part. How then can you contend with horses? Thou art among men like thyself, and thou art not able to find out their secrets and their designs against thee. This is what God was saying to Jeremiah. How shouldst thou know my secrets in the government of the world as to the prosperity of the wicked and the afflictions of the righteous? Be silent and do not trouble thyself about these things. As thou hast had a conflict with the men of Anatoth, and they have been too many for thee, they have grieved and distressed thee, and have made thee weary of my work and service. And thou hast been ready to give out and declare that thou wilt be no longer concerned therein. What wilt thou do when thou comest to the exercise with greater and sorer trials, and shalt have to do with the king of Judah and his court and his princes? Don't you and the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem and the priests that inhabit it? You know what God was saying? Look, this is your training ground. How will you Jeremiah, you're going to prophesy in front of the king of Judah and the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, not the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin. You're going to prophesy before priests and kings. How, if you cannot run with the footmen now, how will you run with the horses? How will you contend with the horses? It only gets harder. You know why so many men are falling out? They fail out, and you look around for faithful older men. We talked about that. Because they quit running. And they start hiding. Right? They don't want to run with the footmen and contend with the horses. How are you going to fight the battles that are ahead that are fiercer and the foes greater? It's a battlefield, not a playground. You're going to have greater challenges and wars in the future. You're going to have to be on foot, battling horses. And if you are wearied by the footmen, you will never be able to contend with greater challenges. I'm telling you, if you try to skip and you think you can move ahead, you can't get past the fundamentals. You're not greater than the foundations. If you can't contend for holy living, contend for your wife or your husband or your children, how will you face the horses that want to stampede and destroy you? God is conditioning us for the battle ahead. That's why it's a battlefield, not a playground. That's why it's not a recreation hall. It ain't a game that you can run from. This church is not a game to play. It's an army. It's a battlefield. And if Satan can get you so twisted up over the little things and get you to run out on God, how will you face the horses and the giants in the future? You won't. You won't. You will never be used of God because you are wearied at running with the footmen. Let me ask you this. What are you going to do when the swelling of Jordan comes? I want to explain to you what that means. Of earthly losses have a sting of bitterness and often inflict a severe wound. Is there not need of a holy resolution based on a sure foundation? When in addition to minor ills is in the swelling of Jordan, which periodically overflowed its banks, and the time of harvest. Listen to this. Men's lives might be placed in jeopardy, their flocks exposed to lions, driven out of their lairs, and to produce the harvest fields submerged or swept away. So the more ordinary trials of life, which yet demanded patience and meekness, would be followed by graver emergencies, such as a heaven-derived and supported hope resting on no insecure or shifting foundation, but upon the rock of ages, who could alone enable men to bear up under. The heavens grew dark, the waters raged, the banks were overflowed, the lashing hail fell, the earth shook and trembled, the lightning glanced and the thunder rolled, as in the severity of an almost tropical storm. How wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Listen to me. When Jordan swelled, the water filled the lairs where all of the lions were, and the lions came out, and they were walking about seeking whom they may devour. And that's exactly what he's talking about. How are you going to handle that if you're not faithful running with the footmen? Look, storms intensify the longer you are saved, and they get worse. And if you cannot run with the footmen but get weary, how will you handle the swelling of Jordan? When the lions come out of their den and the enemy comes in like a flood, how wouldst thou endure wounds for Christ, listen, that canst not endure words? Think about that for a second. If you can't endure words, I bet people that are Christians that can't handle a hard sermon. They can't endure words. How will you handle wounds? How wilt thou... Sorry, trap is funny. Remember, this is written in 1600. How wilt thou fry a faggot this that startlest at a reproach for the truth? Huh? No, that's a stick, you know. A bundle of sticks, a faggot, yeah. While William Coberly, the martyr, was endurance, his wife also called Alice, listen to this, being apprehended, was in the keeper's house the same time detained, where the keeper's wife had secretly heated a key fire hot and laid it on the grass on the backside. So speaking to Alice to fetch her the key in all haste, she went with speed to bring the key, and taking it up in haste, did piteously burn her hand, whereupon she cried out, "Ah, thou drab!" Quoth the other lady said this, Thou that canst not abide with the burning of thy hand, how wilt thou be able to abide the burning of thy whole body? And so she afterward repented. When the storms of life rage, how will you stand the swelling of Jordan? How will you handle those trials? How will you handle death, which is a picture of that Jordan? How will you trust God in death when you cannot trust Him through the dark times of life? That fiery trial in this Christian life can get awful dangerous. People can be treacherous. They can be just plain mean. Your friends and brothers and others can be mean. But when Jordan swells and all the devils come out, how will you handle it? The only way you can handle it is by realizing it's a battlefield and not a playground. It's not time to play, but learn to fight the battles of the Lord. And you have to be entirely submitted to the Lord and follow Him. And know that you are where you need to be and right where God has you by faith. Look, there can be no quit in you. If there is, you'll quit. Remember that sermon 2 months ago? Yep. Submit, commit, but don't quit. Want me to read you a series of the sermons that were preached? Go ahead. Read the titles. Conditional Surrender. Fervent Charity. Faithful Men. It's a battlefield, not a playground. Look, it's all of grace, but we have to submit. You got to say, we're going to be married for life, come hell or high water. Before the swelling of Jordan. I don't care if the gates of hell. I came here to stay. I ain't quitting being a mama. I came to stay. You got to say that. I'm going to be a good husband. I came to stay. I'm going to be a good employee. I came to stay. I came to be a Christ-honoring church member, and I came to stay. Look, you can't stay weary. Second Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to turn there. I'm going to read you some verses here, and we're almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. I want to talk to you about being that weary and faint not. You know, faint not is in the Bible 4 times. Yep. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Oh my goodness. Okay, now it gets better. It could be a biography. You ready? But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Yeah, that's deep, isn't it? That's pretty heavy, ain't it? Again, the Bible says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How about Galatians 6:9? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, when is that? When God says it's due. That's when. Not when you say it's due, not when you want it to be done, but when God says. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Ephesians chapter 3. Wherefore, Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 13. Paul said, wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Mm-hmm. So I'll ask you, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Father, Lord, help us to be found faithful. You ask that question, shall the Son of Man find faith on this earth? God, help us to be faithful, submitted, committed, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Dear God, give us hearts that are fixed, O Lord, that are fixed. Help our treasures to be in heaven. Help our focus to be you. Help us to deny our flesh, take up our cross, and follow you daily. Dear God, help us to run with the footmen so we learn endurance, contend with the horses, and swim through the swelling of the Jordan until we go home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.